Welcome to the Leader's Edge podcast. I'm podcast producer Zach Ewell here at Leader's Edge. In this episode of our Personal Lines podcast series, associate editor Chris Han interviews Timothy Hall, CEO of Relation Insurance Services. Hall shares how he got his start creating a business in high school, what life is like in his home state of Nebraska, and how the insurance industry needs to sell itself to a younger generation. Give it a listen.
Okay, we are here today with Timothy J. Hall, the CEO of Relation Insurance Services. Tim, your company is based in California. You're in Chicago. Thank you very much for being here. You mentioned, we just were chatting a little bit, you mentioned in high school you started your own business, a DJ business, which at one point grew to have 10 employees. And I'm wondering where that entrepreneurial spirit came from at such a young age.
It was born from being in a working class neighborhood where if you wanted something, you had to work for it. I bused tables when I was younger at a local family-owned restaurant and bar called Dinker's Bar and Grill. And one of the guys that would come in was, he owned a disc jockey company. And when I was 14, I went out with them to help set up because I thought it was really cool. It was music. It was, he had all this equipment. You know, he was kind of the life of the party. And that kind of planted the bug in it for me. With the kind of the onset of MP3s and gateway computers, and you could actually do it with a rig that was a lot less complex than what he had. So I convinced my dad to loan me some money to buy a set of speakers and a refurbished gateway laptop and a mixer. And I think it was around $2,200, and I'm pretty sure he thought he'd never see that money again. And then when I got, just word of mouth, had a sister that was, a few years older than me who, kindly introduced me to some, sororities and fraternities and, at her college. And then about 8 or 9 weeks after I bought the equipment, I had made enough to pay my father back. And that's when I realized this can be something pretty cool.
That's a quick payback.
I think he was imminently impressed and, thoroughly concerned that I got it through illicit means. So,
okay. You mentioned your dad, and you told me that he was a state senator in Nebraska, and later the state insurance commissioner, and then later a CEO of an insurance company. And I'm wondering, you veered toward the business side, the insurance side. Did you ever have any political aspirations? I'm wondering if that part of his life had any impact on you in that way.
If I ever did, he would quickly talk me out of them.
Why do you say that?
It's something that, you know, he said he probably would have done it in reverse, gone into business first and then done the political thing. He took office as a state senator. There was an open seat in our district, and he got appointed by the governor at the age of 28.
Wow.
There was being a state senator in Nebraska is unique in that there's only 49 of them, and there's no House of Representatives. It's a unicameral, so it's higher profile but low pay, as he described it. And certainly, if at the right time and you know, I'm at the right age and stage in life, I'd consider it. But I think it would be I'd have to be pretty much the right thing for me to, or I'd have to decide if it was the right thing for me to do. And I got a wife that'll convince me otherwise if I start thinking like that. So,
did you follow his career politically? Did it inspire any particular interest or passion for politics and for governance?
It did, yes, pretty tremendously. Actually, I'm a political junkie, the one thing it taught me is he represented a blue collar district in a part of Omaha that was very diverse. You had a lot of legacy immigrants, the Italian community, the German community, the Irish community, the Czech community, and then couple that with the recent Hispanic immigrants. So he had a very diverse constituent base, and it taught me that you needed to compromise. And he worked well with the unicameral is officially nonpartisan, but everybody knows what everybody is. So he was a Democrat from Nebraska, which effectively is a centrist anywhere else. And it taught me that, you know, despite your differences with somebody else, you can always come to agreement on something. You should be able to have a conversation civilly with them about something. And then you can realize that you have a heck of a lot more in common than you do different. So, I think that's probably more prescient now than ever before. I think a lot of folks could that are in Washington and in state houses around the country could learn, you know, to be a little more civil. Maybe use the two ears they're given to listen instead of the one mouth they have to talk. But it was a good education. I learned how to knock on doors early.
Did you campaign for your dad?
Oh yeah. Yeah. We were free labor. So we camped, we knocked on doors, we built yard signs. It was, he had a political apparatus, with, my brother, my sister, and my cousins. My father's one of 15 children. So, he had a lot of free labor, helping getting them elected there a few times. So.
I want to ask you about Nebraska as someone who has only, I think, once driven through Nebraska. What do you think people who are not familiar with Nebraska, who don't come from Nebraska, or somebody like me who spent most of his life on the Eastern Seaboard, what would be the most surprising thing about Nebraska to an outsider like me?
The general perception is that the topography is all flat. And that is true for about a third of the state. Okay. And when you get out to western Nebraska, northwestern Nebraska, there are undulating sand hills and some of the most beautiful topography you've ever seen. And I'd also say that they're some of the nicest and most genuine people that you'll ever meet. They will do anything for you. They'll give you the shirt off their back. It's just a great place to grow up, raise a family. The Nebraska Cornhuskers, my beloved team that hasn't done anything of substance in 24 years. It is opposing fans will routinely say that, man, those Nebraska fans are sure nice. It's just a way of life there. So, and I'd also say it's, if you're in Omaha or Lincoln or one of the big cities in Nebraska, big as in quotes there, but, they're large there. There's a lot going on. Great music scene in Omaha, great culinary scene, great place for chefs to, get up and coming and actually get some recognition. So it's, and if you happen to like golf, I think some of the best golf courses in the country happen to be in Nebraska. So
is that right?
You have the fifth best golf course in the world is the Sand Hills in Mullen, Nebraska.
Wow,
it's a Coren Crenshaw course. It's absolutely stunning. There's a course about 50 miles up the road there that's relatively new. That's built by Gil Hands. It's Caprock Ranch, very similar topography.
Okay.
So a lot of good golf there. So the nice part is you don't have the population competing for tee time, so you can get on them.
You have a favorite course?
In Nebraska, it'd be Caprock Ranch. Okay. Fortunate enough to be a member there, and it's It's a beautiful place in the world. It takes forever to drive there and get there. And your cell phone doesn't work when you get there, which is part of the allure. So
I like it already. And I'm not even a golfer. You mentioned earlier that you had, at least briefly, when you were growing up, an ambition to become a history professor. Where did that come from?
It started in high school, just really drilling down and understanding kind of how history is written. And just, I'm an avid reader. I read all types, fiction, nonfiction. My dessert reading is, whatever John Grisham novel or easy to read legal thriller is out there that I can pick up at the airport. I really liked understanding kind of, the origin of things, kind of how we got here. If you're studying, the Civil War, how the conflict was started, and you really pull the thread on that. And you start to expose, all right, you go down the rabbit hole and it's like, this is really cool. The historiography of things, how histories are written.
If you could change one thing about the insurance industry, what would it be?
The perception that it's boring. And I think we're getting there. And that also dovetails with attracting younger talent to the industry as well. Myself included, I got plenty of runway left in this industry. And I think it's a tremendous home for really smart, driven people. But they hear the word insurance and their eyes glaze over. You can have a passion about anything and work in the insurance sector. That's the great part about this industry. If you're passionate about airplanes, go be an aerospace underwriter. You'll get to talk aeronautics all day long. If you're passionate about the financial markets, go be a public company D&O underwriter. Go be a broker. It's an industry that has a lot to offer the next generation coming up. I think we need to do a better job of exposing all that it has to offer them from a career perspective, from an interesting perspective. We need to be more front-footed with that than just assume that people get it today. So
what would you say to a bright, talented college senior who's trying to figure out where to go in the business world? What would you say to sell the insurance industry?
I would ask one. I'd ask them, what are they passionate about, and then I would spin it that you can do that in the insurance sector. You can pursue your interests as a career in the insurance sector. Mm-hmm. Because it touches everything. It is compulsory. Folks need it. It is, if you're running a business, it's an absolute must. If your interests, so your interests can align with your work in a way that very few other industries can, unless you're going directly into, going into aerospace, for example.
Right.
So I would pitch it as, you're going to have a high growth career if you come in young and you're picking a major. Really be committed to your craft. Don't the only word out of your mouth the first 10 years of your career probably should be yes. Take on the assignments that no one else will. Put in the time, because it will pay dividends later on. And the insurance industry will give you those opportunities, more than most. Because if you're a young, hungry person in this sector, the opportunities for advancement are pretty tremendous. If you dig in and you're capable and you can prove yourself, I know a lot of firms on the brokerage side and on the carrier side that would love to attract, retain, and promote those types of individuals. Yeah. So,
all right, Tim, I've taken up a lot of your time. I really, really appreciate it. I'm going to let you go.
Appreciate the time, Chris. Thank you much.
That was Associate Editor Chris Han interviewing Timothy Hall, CEO of Relation Insurance Services. I hope you enjoyed it. To listen to more podcasts by Leader's Edge, go to leadersedge.com or subscribe on Spotify, SoundCloud, or Apple Podcasts.